yourself.
The moon. There's all sorts of people out there on the moon, apparently.
Going towards the moon.
Well, happy First Friday, everybody, and welcome to Express Yourself, where creativity and conversation collide. It's April, and that means Spring into Wellness is taking place right now in Carbondale. You can start at the Rec Center and go out and find all sorts of healthy, fun things out there. But here, we have a fabulous show lined up for you.
That's right. We have a visit from the Art Knots, a group of artists from around the globe ahead of their exhibition closing at the Aspen CMC campus next Wednesday. And we talk with David Taylor, founder and artistic director of Zikir Dance Company, about their upcoming performance on April 10th at the Ute Theater.
And in the house right now, we have Erin McFoy from Aspen Film. She's going to fill us in on all things Shorts Fest coming up April 7th to 11th. We are your hosts, Amy Kimberly and
Brian Colley.
So don't touch that dial. Express yourself. Express yourself.
All right. Thanks for joining us here on KD&K. Erin McFoy.
Hello.
Aspen Film Shorts Fest is coming up.
It is indeed.
It's coming right
Another
up.
Year.
Another year. 35th year, I saw.
35th year, yeah. It's funny Congrats. How time flies.
What's your role at Aspen Film?
I am the operations and production director, but really that just means I am the wearer of all hats.
You do it all.
Amy knows, yeah.
Well, I'm sure it takes a village, but we got to have somebody to lead the charge.
100%. Yeah, no, I have a fabulous team. It is definitely not a solo effort.
Well, for those who don't know, Aspen Shorts Fest coming April 7th through 11th recognizes one of North America's premier short film festivals. Each spring, enthusiastic audiences, filmmakers, and special guests from around the globe gather to participate in public screenings, panels, workshops, and other festivities, spotlighting the art and craft of short form cinema. But it's also an Oscar qualifying
Absolutely is.
Film Fest.
Which is one of a very cool storyline, actually, for this year is that, so what that means in our world, Oscar qualifying, doesn't mean that you automatically win an Academy Award, but it does mean that if you win one of the juried prizes at Shorts Fest. So we have an independent jury who are, you know, have deep, deep history in shorts, and they come and they watch all of the programs, and then they award five different juried awards that are Oscar qualifying. So if they choose your film, then that means you are eligible to then pursue a path to the Academy Awards.
Wow.
And last year,
yeah,
in 2025, the jury awarded a film called Jane Austen's period drama for our comedy award, which was a hilarious film, very, very funny. That film went on its Oscar journey, and they made it all the way to the awards. They were present at the ceremony. They were one of only five films that was nominated in the live action category. Unfortunately, they did not bring home the statuette, but the journey and the experience that film had has been unbelievable. So we are bringing them back to the festival this year to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's one of the panels.
It is. Yep. And I'm dragging them all over the valley. It's going to be fantastic. So we're having a panel on Wednesday in Aspen at the Isis Theater at 2 p.m. where we will be showing the film again and then having a conversation with the filmmakers. And then the following day, we are taking them to do a young filmmaker lab at CMC up in Spring Valley. And they're going to do a little podcast recording with someone from No Film School.
Cool.
And then I'm taking them to CRMS, and we're doing a whole assembly in the barn to talk again about their film and their comedy and what it was like to get all gussied up and go to the Academy Awards.
Gotta get gussied up if you're going to go to the Academy.
Oh, I think it's required.
Well, there's 61 short films. What kind of defines a short film these days? How short is a short film?
Technically, because of the Oscar qualifying nature of the festival, it has to be under 40 minutes, including credits.
Including credits.
Yeah, some of those credits, people get a little carried away. There's a lot of people get name checked in those credits.
What about opening credits?
All of the credits. Of the credits, including everything. So the short category. There is also a short category, which is one of the Oscar qualifying categories, which means that the film, including credits, has to be under 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's getting short.
It is, definitely. And we have a couple that are only 4 minutes. There's a lot of story that can happen in a very short space.
I mean, that's what I love about the Shorts Fest is just the variety. And there's just, you know, super short films. You know, your attention span these days is like 30 seconds, but you can make it through a short film. And then, you know, it opens you up to these longer films, but they're still short. So.
They are absolutely still short. So especially if there's one that you maybe don't particularly care for, you wait 10 minutes on to the next.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, one of the beauties of Shorts Fest and the way that we do our programming. We don't do sort of, you know, one block isn't all animation and one block isn't all drama. It's all, every single program of the 10 programs is all mixed up. So you're going to get a documentary, you're going to get an animation, you're going to get some comedy, you're just going to get a mix of everything in 90 minutes. And it takes you on a wild roller coaster ride, each of the 10 programs that we have planned. Wow.
I think you had something like 3,200 submissions.
We absolutely did, which was a record-breaking year.
But it looks like I was just reading through the program, and I was laughing just reading some of the little blurbs about the film. So I think there will be a lot of laughter this year, which we kind of need.
I definitely hope so. I would say the first year or two coming out of the pandemic were a little heavy.
Heavy.
The people you know, maybe not in a great headspace, and we've definitely returned more to some of the lighter fare, a little bit more comedic, some of the more uplifting stories, which I personally am very happy about.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear more about the Aspen Film Educates programming with the educational opportunities.
Absolutely. It's one of the most active parts of the festival, aside from the fact that we will have over 50 filmmakers in town from all over the country and the world, and that energy and that buzz that brings. But really, the education program, we truly, truly activate during Shorts Fest. And we will be in almost every school in the Valley. We bring filmmakers. We bring their films. We do bring them into the schools, and young people have an opportunity to interact with the filmmakers, ask them their burning questions or their very random questions sometimes.
Totally.
Kind of depends. And one of the cool things that we did this year that we don't do every year, but we did a 35-second challenge, which was an online thing, and opened it up. I mean, it was more students, but it was open to everyone. And the tagline of Aspen Film is independent by nature. So that's something that we leaned into. And then this year, being the 250th anniversary of our country, we sort of leaned a little harder into that concept and asked people to create a 35-second video, sort of just defining what does, you know, independence and freedom and, you know, mean to you.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, kind of a broad theme, but we got over 50 entries and super fun. 35 seconds. Again, you can tell a story in a very, very short amount of time.
Yeah.
So the five finalists, it's all youth-driven, was driven by our interns, the staff. The adults have had nothing to do with it. It's fully youth-driven process, and they have selected the five finalists, which are currently up on our Instagram. So you can see those five 35-second films.
Oh, cool.
And the winner will be announced on Monday at our youth forum kickoff at Basalt High School. And then there will be a whole nother, up on the interwebs and all of the social media and stuff. And yeah, it's been very cool and very fun process to see. So that was one of the things that we did a little bit different this year with education, which kind of fun.
Is it mostly high school age, or do you go into elementary school as well?
I don't think we got any elementary school entries for the contest, but we do definitely
go. Got phones.
They do. They do. I mean, they do.
Crazy.
But we do go into the work with the elementary schools when it comes to some of the film programming. We also do a collaboration with the Aspen Science Center and work with them when we go into the school. So there's a little bit more of a hands-on sort of activation and opportunity there, because the youngest ones have an even shorter attention span than some of the older kids like myself.
That makes sense. And there's also 8 shorts making their world premieres this year.
Brand spanking new to the world, yes.
Is there anything that kind of stands out to you this year, just like looking through? You have the program in front of you.
I do. I have to admit to not having seen any of the films.
You don't get to like review anything.
I don't know. Our programming team does all of that. Shoot. And then I personally also just really enjoy the experience of being with the audience in the dark on the shared journey and just sort of waiting to see what our programming team has in store for us because they're an incredibly talented group of individuals, and the way that they select films and the way that they, you know, choose which ones follow which ones in each program really just, like I said, takes you for the ride, and I'm here for the journey. So I don't have a lot of insight, but I can tell you we've got great stuff coming.
Well, it's a good sign that you can actually watch some of the movies during the festival.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that means you've done your job really well.
Yeah, I don't get to see them all, but, you know, effort is made, and we all tag team and make sure that every single one of our staff definitely gets sit in the auditorium and experience that, you know, magic. It's magic. And then after every single program, we have a Q&A with filmmakers from, you know, some of the films that were in that program. So get to learn even more about, or, you know, quirky little tips and tricks, or, you know, how did you get the idea for this, you know, crazy film, or what drove you to make this documentary, and get to kind of ask some of those questions.
Yeah, get into the artist's head.
Absolutely.
When you have like an Oscar jury, is the jury there like at the film festival? Or is
so the jury
like
is with the jury
out?
Is present. I will say we have had to shift in the last year, where the jury has now, they do receive links in advance, and so they don't watch every single film in the auditorium. It was that way prior to the pandemic, but things had to shift a little, and it's a large commitment for these working professionals to be here for the entirety of the festival and then also have the time to be able to deliberate, you know, within the space of the festival. So they do watch independently all of the films, and then they come in the middle of the week, and then they, you know, have a big bond time in sessions. They will watch a couple of the programs in the theater with the audience, just also to kind of get a sense of our audience and what our audience reacts to, and kind of understanding the personality of our festival, if you will, in our town and our community. And then they do their deliberation live, you know, when they are in person, and then if they need to rewatch something, we arrange for that to happen. And then we have a big awards program on Saturday night at the 11th, so the decision will be made and the winners will be announced from the stage on Saturday night.
I'm like comparing that in my head to being like a pie or cake judge at Mountain Fair, where you're just eating like pie. You're just watching movies.
You're just
my brain would be toast at the end.
It 61 is films is a lot.
Yeah. These are pros, I guess, you know.
Yeah. That is a lot of films to watch in the space of 1 week, to take it all in and to make thoughtful notes.
And that's just
about
one
each.
Like film festival.
It's just one.
Out of,
yep.
Who knows? But besides being like Oscar qualifying, there's also a bunch of other prizes. Is that like audience kind of choosing, like people's choice?
We do have an audience award. Yep.
Okay.
So there are a number of cash prizes at the festival that are not Oscar qualifying, the audience award being one of them. We do also have an Ellen Award, which is an award given in honor of our founder, whom many people in this valley, including myself, did know and did cherish. So we continue to honor Ellen in that way with an award. There is a Youth Jury Award, which also, especially some of these filmmakers who have gotten, you know, whose films are age appropriate to bring into the schools, and when they get to interact with the schools, it's very, very meaningful for them to then be awarded a prize by, you know, an audience of teenagers. And our youth jury, we have 5 youth jurors this year, which is a really cool and special program. One of the things that we do, we have 5 local teenagers from a couple of different schools, and they watch about half the films, not all of the films, not all of them are, some of them are a little bit more adult. And so, you know, there is kind of a curated selection, but they watch the majority of the films and then they themselves choose the one that most resonates with today's youth.
Oh, that's great. I mean, look, that could be a future job for them. They could be screeners, you know, there's a real future there.
Yeah,
absolutely. We're trying.
Look at you guys. Yeah.
We would love for there to be future Oscar winners who have come out of our youth jury.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool. Well, let's see. You have maybe some tickets to
give away. I do have some tickets to give away. So the festival does take place entirely at the Wheeler Opera House in terms of the film screenings this year. So we will be screening a 4 p.m. and an 8 p.m. program from Tuesday through Friday. And then there are two programs on Saturday, one at 2 p.m., one at 5 p.m. But today, I thought, since opening night is always so exciting, we could give away a couple of tickets. Two tickets to each the 4 p.m. program and two tickets to the 8 p.m. program.
This is opening night, April 7th.
This is opening night, Tuesday, April 7th,
Tuesday.
Next week.
Dang.
Okay, so how are we going to do that?
Call
I guess someone
us.
Could call in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe should we ask like a film
trivia
question, like how many films are going to be at the Shorts Fest?
I like
then
it.
Then we'll see if someone was listening.
I like it. It's yes. Make them work for it.
So the number to call is 970-963-2976. And you could be going to the Shorts Fest.
Yeah. Sounds great.
We got two sets.
Two sets, yeah.
Oh, someone's calling. Let's see.
Goody.
Good thing Amy's over there because she knows how to do the
phone.
Let's
see. Well, we're going to try this. Hello? You're on the air.
I'm on the air. This is Marty calling.
Marty, do you know how many films are going to be airing this
year? I heard a number between 81 and 86.
No, but you know, Marty, because you called, you were close.
I'll allow it. I mean, you heard 81. It's 61.
You had the one right. You had the one right.
Half of it.
Yeah, I think that's important. Let's see. You want to give Aaron your full name? And
either I can leave my email here or we can, one way or the other, you can just get in touch with me. I'll get in touch with you and we will leave your tickets at the box office.
So, Marty.
Hey, Aaron. That sounds great.
You know, Aaron, really you know how to get in touch with Aaron?
I can give you my email on air. It's allowed. I don't think anyone's going to. Yeah. Okay. All right. My email is emcvoy@aspenfilm.org. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know your daddy.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. A lot of people do.
Oh, that is your dad.
Oh, also, shout out to Dad, whose birthday is tomorrow.
Oh,
happy birthday, Dad. Happy birthday, Michael.
Yeah. we always see him up skiing at Spring Gulch.
Yes, indeed. He is definitely a big Spring Gulch skier, although not so much this year.
Yeah,
not so much this year.
Yeah, he's walking
it. We both lamented.
Yes, indeed. Shared experience for sure.
All right. Well, thank you, Marty. And we have one more to give away. So we're going to hang up just in case someone else wants to call. But thanks for calling.
We'll see you at Shorts Fest.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. And then let's see. We still have one more. So you could call 970-618-2976 if you want these tickets.
Give us a call. It could be either the 4 p.m. or the 8 p.m. Either one. You choose.
Nice.
That's a pretty good deal. And Marty's going. I think that was Marty Schlein. Do you think? I don't know.
There's several Martys around here. My dad knows a lot of Martys, too. I don't know. I can ask. We're having dinner tomorrow.
There you go. Well, this was so great. We'll keep giving away the tickets. And
They could also call the office line, maybe, and they can come fetch us. But
yep, or you have my email now. So
how can people get tickets online? What's the website?
So the single day tickets are sold through the Wheeler Opera House. So that's going to be aspenshowtix.com. But you can also get links to each program that will take you directly there through our website, aspenfilm.org. lots more details about there, about descriptions of the films and, you know, who's doing what and which is a world premiere and a Colorado premiere all of those fun details, as well as information about some of the panel conversations and other events that we will be hosting throughout the week. So go check it out, aspenfilm.org.
Well, Aaron, thanks for coming over to talk about Aspen Film Shorts Fest. Good
Thank
luck
you
next
much.
Week.
Thank you. Keep shorts weird. Thank you.
That's right. And all of you out there, just call 970-963-0139 if you want a pair of tickets. Here we go.
All right. Thanks for keeping it tuned here to Express Yourself. We're back with a few special guests. Do we have Lauren and Val? Oh, gosh. Is it Valerie on the
phone?
Yeah, we are. I am here. Yes.
Thank you for doing this with us. And we've got Kay Cesar here in the studio. Hi, Kay.
Hi. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah. Party in the studio. We're here to talk about the Art Knots, which I would love. Well, let's introduce everyone first. Lauren, how about you go first?
Yeah. My name is Lauren Mayer. I work at Colorado Mountain College on the Aspen campus. I am a teacher of art there and also run the gallery. And so the Art Knots are our current exhibition now.
Yeah. And Valerie, how about you go? Tell us who you are.
Yeah. Hi. I'm Valerie Albecker, and I've been a member of the Art Knots since 2003. I worked at the University of Colorado as the visiting artist director and was introduced to the project while I was a staff member there and have been involved ever since. And then
wow.
Kay is the one who originally had this idea. So
Kay Cesar, full of ideas all the time.
Well, I've been a member of the Art Knots off and on since 2021, and I've been on a leave, but I'm back, and I've joined again, and I'm super excited to be involved in this collective. And I proposed the idea to host an Art Knot show to Lauren, and she, of course, was so receptive and gracious and has hosted us in our wonderful show that spans, I think, 30 years of the Art Knots.
Wow. Wow. Well, can someone just back up and inform our listeners about who are the Art Knots? How did this get started, this kind of artist collective?
Valerie?
Well, I'll start to speak to that. The Art Knots were originally founded by Professor George Rivera and Garrison Root, and then Luis Valdivino and Beth Krensky. Beth was a PhD student. The others were professors, faculty at CU Boulder. And they started going to places outside the country to be able to exhibit art that they felt was necessary to reflect on areas of contention. So it started with a small group of professors, and then they started to invite other students as well as other faculty members across the country.
Oh, wow. I think I've met Professor Rivera. He's been in a show at Carbondale Arts the past couple of years. He was connected to me through Tony Ortega, who's an artist in Denver and was part of a show there. Yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah,
I can only imagine the people in his circle that he pulls in. That's a really fun thing to be a part of. And Art Knots, I was kind of reading on the website, has to do with, you know, combining astronaut and artist, which, of course, you know, is always a great thing when we have people going to the moon right now talking about astronauts. Valerie, how has that come together for you? How many have you been showing just constantly through the years? And what kind of art do you make?
Well, my first show was the first time I went to Mexico, to Oaxaca with Professor Rivera was, oh gosh, I've lost track of that, but that was my first show. And then since then, I went to Bosnia, to Sarajevo, and then after Sarajevo, I went to the DMZ in South Korea.
Wow.
And that, both of those were really impactful shows. And then I actually, because of my trip to Bosnia, I decided to leave the university and I joined the Peace Corps and I sort of changed the whole trajectory of my life in order to be more on the ground and working with people, with individuals. And so it really had a major effect on my life.
It did. Yeah, that's quite an impact. I can see how that would happen when you go to these places and you get you're affected by what's going on there and you start to open up like that. That's incredible. I think I did know that there were some trips to Sarajevo and things like that. But do you have a count or estimate of like how many different places around the world this group has been going?
20. Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
We've been in 27 countries.
Wow.
And we've had over 253 exhibitions in 27 countries in that 30-year period.
Wow.
And there's currently 64 members in the Art Knots this year. Is that correct, Valerie?
There is currently 64 members, but we've had many, many more throughout the 30 years.
Mm-hmm. How does that work? Is there a team that kind of seeks out artists, or is that something that anyone can be part of?
Well, typically what happens is when we go to other countries, we usually meet artists who we feel their work is in alignment with our mission. And so we will invite our artists from other regions or other countries to join us. But we also do have members who put forward their recommendations for artists.
Okay.
And after next year, we have a place on our website for people who are interested to inquire and potentially fill out applications. But right now, with our 30th anniversary happening and other shows that we have lined up for 2027, we won't be taking new members until 2028.
Gotcha. Well, that sounds like a pretty cool group to be part of. And when you get to another city or country, how are you finding people to show with or spaces there? How does that kind of logistical work go for you guys?
Well, sorry, you two. I guess I'm going to answer this one too, unless some.
No, you're great.
Typically, what happens? It is quite a process, and Dr. Rivera has mastered this in that he's been able to secure venues all over the world. It used to be he would just pick up the phone and call people, and he still will do that. But then once you have a country that you're in, then you find other artists who can help lead you to museums or gallery spaces, or even just what do I want to call them? Venues like that are dealing with like the DMZ, you know, where that's not necessarily a place where artists would be showing, but it is a very important museum. We look at it for other, you know, areas of museums that can show our work.
Wow.
But now what we're trying to do is we're allowing members to make recommendations as to other places that they feel we should show. And so as a collective, we're trying to figure out, we're allowing everybody to take a shot at putting together new exhibits.
Mm-hmm. It just sounds like such a dynamic thing to be a part of, especially these days when you are trying to find connections in so many different ways, locally, but also globally, and art. Why not through art? That's a powerful method. Lauren and Kay, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on at the CMC Gallery in Aspen?
I'm going to turn this over to the curator, who's Lauren.
Perfect.
Thanks, Kay. Yeah, so this is our second visit. Next week we'll have the Art Knots back in the house, back at the CMC Aspen campus. This will be their second visit. They've been gracious enough to provide or give their expertise and time to meet with students and to do some public talks. So currently in the gallery right now we have work that spans over the 30 years of the Art Knots. So we have pieces that represent are sort of representations of, pieces that were part of a show that was from around the world. So there's a pretty wide range of art there. All the work is 8.5 by 11,
or 8x10, right? For travel purposes for the Art Knots, when they're going from country to country, easy to show. So we have this really interesting format where we have everything that's the same scale. So there's 94 pieces in the gallery right now. So it's pretty expansive. And for us, it's really exciting to have the Art Knots, because they usually don't show in the States. So
right. Yeah. It sounds like they're all over the place. This is great.
Yeah. This being their archive from these shows, kind of like a traveling archive, like we're very, very lucky to have the work here. And then because of who they are, and how engaging they are as on principle, pretty much they've engaged our students and engaged the community in a really kind of special way that's been really impactful for students. So starting next week, on Wednesday the 8th, we have it's kind of the closing reception, even though the show's open for about another month after that. But we're going to have a reception on Wednesday in the art gallery on the Aspen campus from 4 to 7. And true to the Art Knots, it's not going to be your typical reception. There's going to be some interactive artwork happening with our Art Knots during the reception. Don't worry, we will have our typical nibblies, little refreshments there, so you will be fed. but Valerie's going to be, maybe she can talk about this a little bit more in depth, a social tea sculpture, and then we're going to be having an interactive activity called 1,000 Knots. Where everyone in the gallery is going to be literally roped into doing something. And then following that, so this is the Wednesday night reception. On Thursday, the night, they're going to be back in the house. We're going to have Dr. George Rivera leading a Rorschach workshop where he's going to be bringing inks from the Amazon that was blessed by a shaman.
Wow.
It's from 2 to 4 on Thursday, and it's open to the community to come and take part of the in this activity. The Art Knots just recently had a show, and Valerie, correct me if I'm getting details wrong, in February in Sarajevo on wounds, fear, and healing. If I got the title correct.
That's right.
And so that similar prompt is going to be used in this workshop. Where people will be encouraged to think about some past wound, and then through that thought process, create a Rorschach ink blot that is kind of a representation of that wound, as I understand the activity. Wow. So there'll be room to share, room to just be part of the activity, but it seems like it's going to be a very special event. So all are welcome to join us for this, and having George in the house leading this is very special for everybody.
Yeah, he's an incredible person. I haven't met him in person, but I know who he is enough to know he's a good guy.
He's so dynamic.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I love how this isn't just like, oh, some artists getting together and showing their work around the world. This is like you're really making it emotional journey and finding healing paths through your art and connecting that with people all over the world. And that's incredible. Kay, could you add anything? You've been sitting over there so nicely and love to hear your thoughts on this show and what you're up to.
Well, I'm excited to have George back in the gallery and having people take part in his Rorschach activity, because it's not only addresses personal wounds, but also the country's wounds. And as always, people aren't going to be forced to talk about or explain what they see in their Rorschach, that they can choose to pass and be silent and just keep that personal unto themselves. So you can share or not share, which I think is a great option for some folks that might be more internal and not want to share that.
Yeah. No, that's something for everyone, whatever level you're willing to share.
Yeah.
Well, Valerie, how can people learn more about the Art Knots and what's coming up next and how to get involved in that kind of
well
thing.
We have our website, which is just www.artknots.org. It's a-r-t nauts.org, and that will show the exhibitions. The next exhibition that we'll have coming up will be our 30th anniversary show at the University of Colorado. Half of it will be at the University of Colorado for anybody who was affiliated with CU, and then the other half will be at the Arvada Center in February. We just had so many members work that we couldn't have it all in one spot.
Yeah.
But otherwise, under events, we have, under the venue section, it shows what exhibitions are coming up, as well as all of the exhibitions that we've had over the past 30 years.
Wow.
Could I ask Kay to just elaborate a little bit more about how this has played a role in her work and how she really found our group?
Well, I found the group through my friend Martha Russo, who is one of the key figures in the Artnauts. She and I were in college together back in Boston, Massachusetts. So that was my first exposure to the Artnauts, and it kind of just let it sit and ruminate for many years. And then finally, I don't know, something clicked and I said, I need to know more about this collective you're in, and it sounds really intriguing. I liked the social justice part of it. I loved the fact that it was kind of art brought to places of contention and not to normal gallery spaces, and really connected with the people in those countries really deeply. That's how I kind of had my introduction to the Artnauts. And I joined, as I said, in 2021, but really I feel like I'm a new member again and really excited to be more involved. I'll be going to Oaxaca this fall with George.
Nice.
For the Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
And George and the Artnauts, there'll be several of us going. So
that's going to be incredible.
Really exciting. Excited about
that. Wow. Thank you, Kay.
Thanks for asking.
And Lauren, can you tell us how to learn more about CMC, and for those interested in coming to the workshop, how to find you guys?
Yeah, so we do have a website for the CMC Art Gallery on the Aspen campus. So, of course, I don't have the site memorized, but if you just Google CMC Art Gallery, it should come right up. And there's contact information to reach me for any questions, on our front desk phone as well. They can patch a call to me, to my office. Anybody is welcome to join us for all of these events. The more the merrier.
Yeah, they sound amazing. Thank you so much for bringing this here and for your time. We got to move on to our next last segment for Express Yourself, but I so appreciate all of your time. Thanks for making this happen, and can't wait to learn more about the Artnauts. What a really cool group. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Well, yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We hope to see you next week.
I hope so. Yeah. Thank you all. Yeah. We'll see you soon.
Take care.
You too.
Happy Easter.
Bye.
All right. That was great. Artnauts. I want to be an Artnaut. Well, we are here at our last segment of Express Yourself. You're tuned in to KDNK. And we are lucky to have David Taylor, founder and artistic director of the Zicker Dance Company, on the phone. Hello.
Hi.
Great. So you guys have a really ambitious program coming up here and tour. You not only are going to be at the Youth Theater on the 10th, but then you come back and you perform in Grand Junction on the 17th, and then you're going to be at the Aspen District Theater on April 25th. Woo!
Yes, we we do a lot of touring throughout Colorado, and also northern New Mexico. We'll be down in Taos, New Mexico on May 1st, and then back up to Fort Collins. So we're kind of all over the place here in April and May.
And you, the dance company's been around for quite a long time. How many years?
This is our 17th season.
Wow. And you spend a lot of time, you kind of integrate the spiritual and kind of different rituals kind of in your dance?
Yes. Zicker Dance Ensemble has kind of one very special focus that I don't think any other professional dance company has, and that we explore sort of metaphysical ideas, dance as a transcendent expression, as it is with many cultures around the world, for, you know, all kinds of various purposes, to connect with the divine. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, because most of us here in the Western world, of course, look at dance as entertainment. Right. And, of course, it is. It's incredibly entertaining. But sometimes we forget that in most of the rest of the world, it is far more than that. It's kind of a real profound expression of that particular cultural identity.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of purposes to, you know, tap into energies around them, to honor their ancestors, to actually go into sometimes into trance.
Right.
So Zikr has a very unique focus. And but what's interesting is, of course, we employ professional, classically trained ballet dancers from all over the world who are also very adept at contemporary work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a very interesting mixture, therefore, for audiences to get a taste of that kind of world-class level of dance, but mm-hmm. with a very unique focus.
And also so global. So the show is called Runes, and you're looking at some of new pieces and some old pieces?
Yes. Runes, of course, R-U-N-E-S,
yeah.
is the name of the ancient Scandinavian and Germanic languages before the Middle Ages. But they are also very unique and special in that the symbols of the runes, which were carved into stones or twigs, were used as a means of divination or prophecy, mm-hmm. where the master of the runes would throw a group of stones or twigs onto the ground,
mm-hmm.
and depending on which of these symbols landed right side up or down, he would then provide a reading of a prophecy to the supplicant who asked for that. But we're calling, and Runes is actually the name of one of the ballets on the program. But we're kind of using that term in a much more general, overall, generic sense, in that there's another ballet on the program that explores this idea of the power of symbols,
mm-hmm.
and that's called Light Codes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you really think of symbols before language was even here with humanity on the earth, people use symbols, sometimes very simple. A dot, a circle, a spiral, a cross that was carved into perhaps a tree or a monolithic rock to sort of designate a place that had special energy or a special sacred purpose. And so, you know, we're subject to, you know, symbols constantly throughout our entire life. I mean, all the logos, you know, that we see every single day, that, you know, bring up a certain idea or image to us. And so the ancients were very wise, knowing that symbols actually, you know, reacted with our subconscious
mm-hmm.
to bring a certain energy into our scope of awareness. And so sort of on a generic level, the whole program is about that. But we're also reprising a couple of other pieces that have been extremely popular.
Yeah.
One is our closing piece, which is to Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're bringing that back because it's sort of been our signature work and a real popular, happy, upbeat closer to the program. And also, too, we're featuring it because it was originally commissioned by a Colorado entrepreneur, producer, and lighting designer, Lauren Wilder,
right,
whose home base originally was in Basalt and in the Aspen area. And recently, she's been actually working with Colorado Mesa University. She's been a brilliant lighting designer. And it was the first ballet that Zicker Dance Ensemble ever had because she commissioned it way back in 2008 for a production that she created at that time called The Language of Light. And as I said, it turned out to be one of our most popular pieces. So we're honoring her in Grand Junction and Aspen, two of her old haunts, paying tribute to her on stage with flowers, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we love Lauren. She does a lot here, and I did talk to her earlier because we were going to try to see if she could call in, but she has a dance recital rehearsal that she has to be at. But she did tell me that piece was really about the chakras and moving through the chakras, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. So you also have a piece by, and I'm probably not going to say his name right, but that's The Light Codes, is by a Belgian choreographer, Sidi Larbi Chiraco?
Well, you're close. It's actually, Light Codes is my other piece about symbols.
Oh, okay. And then,
it's In Memoriam.
In Memoriam.
Is a duet that was created by an internationally acclaimed Belgian-Moroccan choreographer, you're correct, and his name is Sidi Larbi Chiraco. It's a big...
Chiraco.
It's a mouthful.
He's
extremely well-known in Europe, not quite so much, unfortunately, here in the United States. But I saw this duet about a year and a half ago on YouTube, and it just absolutely knocked me out in its beauty and its profound quality. And so I reached out and contacted him, and we had to, you know, formally audition as a company to have the quality that he required for the piece, and he did approve us. And so then it was so fascinating. So I was prepared to then, of course, fly one of his assistants here to Denver, where we are, to set the ballet on our two dancers. Mm-hmm. But lo and behold, when we found out who that person was, and she is a former professional dancer with his company, her name is Joya Marsala, she was currently teaching now as a retired dancer at the Princess Grace Academy of Ballet in Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
And so we contacted her, and she was delightful, but she says, oh, no, I can't come. I'm too busy here with my teaching. And so we had to go to Nice and to Monte Carlo, and we met her there in the Princess Grace Academy. It was amazing, and she set the piece on dancers. So it was an incredible trip we had last fall.
Oh, beautiful.
And the piece is absolutely amazing, and we're just so happy to bring it back and share it with Colorado audiences.
Well, it's going to be some beautiful, beautiful dance, and I think not only visually, but also it will take you emotionally to places. There will be some meet and greets, especially as we honor Lauren up at in Aspen. She will be there, and also in Grand Junction. And this weekend, you are in Rifle at the Ute Theater, which is also a really cool theater. How do people get tickets?
Very simple. Just call the Ute Theater or go online. It's utetheater.com, and you can purchase the tickets either of those ways, or you can even get tickets at the door. on Friday night, April 10th at 7:30.
That's so great. Thank you for taking some time to call in, David. I'm very excited. I'm going to come on up to the Aspen show, and we really look forward to seeing all the production. So thank you.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right, folks. Well, for the final second here at KDNK, we have the Legends of Mountain Fair coming up on the 9th, put on by the Historical Society. It's going to be so fun. We hope y'all will come out for that, too.
EH at 88.5 in Redstone, K228AG at 93.5 in Leadville.